Okay, well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're continuing our study of the life of John the Baptist. Remember, he's not a Baptist. He's called John the Baptizing One, and so that's why he's called that. But that's what he did. He did baptisms. He was chosen by God to be the forerunner of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He was a faithful man who fulfilled his mission. And so here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at John's message about Jesus. Now, this is key. We already saw that he had a message dealing with the kingdom. He said to the nation of Israel, repent, change your mind, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the king is here. In this passage this morning, what does he actually say about Jesus? And that's the salvation message, the eternal life type message, and we'll see it as we go through. Last time we saw the beginning of his ministry, and this is a special time as we look at it this morning. We want to be found faithful to give the clear message as well. Well, we start off this way. I grew up playing sports, not very good, and I loved every minute of it, and I never wanted to come out of the game. You know, you're in the game, they come in that, and the person coming in takes your place is called your substitute. Now, I'll just say this, I got substituted a lot. So anyway, we most of the time when we're playing something, we don't want a substitute. But when we think about the true aspect of our salvation, we want a substitute, we need a substitute. Think about this. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So what did Jesus do? He came to be our substitute. He came to take our place. He came to die in our place. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so when we think about Jesus as a substitute, we think about the fact that he took our place. One of the great truths, and we're going to talk about it a little bit in our study this morning, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for what? The sins of every human being. That's huge, because sin is no longer, from that point on, sin was no longer the what? The issue. That's not the issue. So we'll talk about it more in just a minute. So we all need a Savior. We need a substitute. Jesus Christ came and died in our place and became our substitute. So let me give you the outline of the study that we started with. And we started with his background and that he's the forerunner. And then, I can't get this to work. There we go. And then last time we saw the birth and his message about himself, the voice crying, and about what to others. Now, this is where we are today. Number three, John's message about Christ. We're going to see him as the Lamb of God, and then we're going to talk about the sacrifice. Now, as we go on in the next couple of weeks on John's life and ministry, his questions and doubt, and then what Jesus said about John. So here we are this morning, that John's message about Jesus, and we're going to see two things, the Lamb of God and the sacrifice. So let's start with John's message about Jesus. It was known, even before he was born, that he would be the forerunner of the Messiah, that he would fulfill Isaiah 40 and Malachi chapter 3, maybe Malachi chapter 4. I mean, however that ties together, he would be the messenger to announce the way of the Messiah. As he started the ministry, now we all go back and we all start saying, wasn't John the Baptist's mother and Jesus' mother, they were somehow related, and Mary went down to see Elizabeth and then came back. And then what happened after that? Well, Jesus was born and lived in Nazareth, and John was born, and John, it says that from early age, he lived out in the wilderness. And so did John know Jesus, even though they were somehow related in some ways? Do you think he knew him? And did they have reunions, and they all come? Most likely not. And so did John actually know that Jesus, the son of Mary, is the Messiah? He might not have known that. And so what does he say? And we're going to see, he makes a statement about the Lamb of God. So look at John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming to him. Now he's got his disciples with him. They're all hanging around. And the next day Jesus is there. He saw Jesus coming to him. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a minute. We're going to come back with a lot more details on this statement. But he points out Jesus as the Messiah, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, how did he know that? Well, let's go a little further, because John is going to tell us what's going to happen. He says this in verse 31. I did not recognize him. but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And he says, first of all, I did not know him. He said, when I started my ministry, God told me to go out in the wilderness, begin to preach to the nation of Israel, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They need to come and understand the Messiah, the King, is on the earth. And I'm out there baptizing people to identify with the King and the kingdom. But I don't know, he says, I don't really know who the Messiah is. And when you put all the Gospels together, John sees Jesus coming. And I think John thinks to himself, I think that's him. That's him. Because when Jesus comes and Jesus says, baptize me, John says, I think you ought to baptize me. And Jesus said, no, we have to do this to fulfill righteousness. But John is going to tell us that he didn't know for sure who it was. So watch what he says again in verse 31. I didn't recognize him. I didn't know exactly what he was like. But so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. I came doing this because I'm going to point him out. That's my plan. And so what happened is John testified saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven and remained upon him. So he said, I didn't know him, but when, and here, and I'll just tell you what happened. Of course, Jesus comes, and John's going to baptize him. And when he baptizes him, he says, I saw the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending as a dove out of heaven, coming out of heaven, and remained on him. So when he's basically saying, when I baptized Jesus, suddenly I looked up, and a dove came out of heaven that was the Holy Spirit and came down and rested on Jesus. And he says this, I didn't recognize him, but the one who had sent me to baptize with water said to me, told me, he upon whom you've seen the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Now he says, I didn't really know it things, but the one who sent me, that's God. God had told John that when he baptizes somebody and you see the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove and coming onto that person, that one is the Messiah. Now, we already saw earlier that John, when Jesus came up to him, John said, I think maybe you ought to be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, you baptize me. And John probably thought, I think he's the one. But when he baptized him and the Holy Spirit came down, he said, now I know he's the one. And so he could begin that ministry. Look at verse 34. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. There he is. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. Listen, to say the Son of God, that's not flippant. That's actually saying this person is God who is part of the... Because listen, you may think that in the Old Testament they only talked about the Father. No. In fact, there's one place where he says, what is his name? What is his son's name? And then the Old Testament talks about the Spirit. Listen, all through the Bible is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when John says, I testify, there is the Son of God. He's saying, this is the Messiah and the Savior. This is the one we've always waited for. And what he's really saying then is, okay, now I've seen him. My job is to what? To go tell everybody. My job is to be the forerunner. My job is to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make the way for the Messiah. So that's what my job is going to be. Now, they already had come out and asked him earlier, who are you? And he said, I'm not the Christ. Well, are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. Tell us who you are. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. This is my job. And they could have asked him right then, who is the Messiah that you're the voice crying for? And he'd say, I don't know yet. I haven't seen the Holy Spirit come down on somebody when I'm baptizing them. And so what happened, and I don't want you to have to turn there, but this is in Mark chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. It says, in those days, when John was announcing in the wilderness, he was baptizing people, and Jesus came, and when he baptized him, it said, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and came, not upon, it's supposed to be, it came upon Jesus. And then it says, and this is the voice of God. He said, this is my beloved son. And so it's amazing that Mark tells us in just three little verses, he went out there to baptize, he baptized, the Holy Spirit came down, he saw it, and he also heard the Father's voice. So have thought about this. Who's getting baptized? Jesus, that's the Son of God. Who's coming down like a dove? Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. Who's speaking? This is my beloved Son. That's the Father. So right then, you have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit right there, all at the one time at the baptism of Jesus. And it's all the way through the Bible. One of these times, I'm going to do a quick study just to show you where the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all mentioned at the same time. You'll be surprised. You know, there's teachings out there. Let me just throw this out. There's teachings out there that that there's one God, and sometimes he's the Father, and sometimes he's the Son, and sometimes he's the Holy Spirit. That's incorrect. No, he's always one God, and he's always the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He exists in three persons, one God. We can't comprehend it. We can believe it. And so here at the baptism of Jesus, there's the Son, the Spirit, and the Father. And so John basically says, I figured it out. I myself have seen, I've testified this. This is the Son of God. So that's where we are. We're now at that. So what's the message? And that's going to take us to be, which is the sacrifice, which is the message about Jesus. So go back to verse 29. This is where he says it earlier. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold. What the word behold literally means, it's a command in the Greek that says, look at something. Look. Look at that. He's saying, look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, I am so glad this verse is in the Bible, aren't you? I'm so glad John 3:16 is in the Bible. It's so clear if you believe you have eternal life. I'm so glad that there are clear, clear verses in the Bible. And so what does this say? John says, there is Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So there's three aspects there that we're going to look at briefly, and then we'll go to grow groups. But the first one is the Lamb of God, who takes away sin, the world. And so when we look at that and put it together, we'd say he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But we need to look at that in a little bit more detail. And let's talk about the Lamb of God. Genesis 22. Now, don't turn back there. But when you say, when John the Baptist would say, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, there are two things that everyone would think. Number one, they would think back to Egypt. They would think about in bondage, and that God said, take a lamb, kill the lamb, put the blood on the door. When I see the blood, I will pass over, and I will bring you out of bondage of Egypt. And so to say the Lamb of God, they would immediately think of the lamb that was sacrificed, the Passover lamb. Now, isn't it amazing that what day did Jesus die on? He died on Passover as the Passover lamb for us. And so if he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, they would immediately think of that. That's the foreshadow. There's also another aspect of the foreshadow, which is Genesis 22, which is when Abraham and Isaac were up the hill and they were going to offer a sacrifice. And the sacrifice that Abraham was told was to sacrifice your son. And Isaac was willing to be sacrificed. As they were walking up the hill, Isaac didn't understand it. He said, I see the fire and I see the knife and I see the wood. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide. And of course, Abraham thought, the sacrifice is my son. And when they got there, he told him, he tied him up, he was ready to do it. God stopped it, they look over, and there was this ram, there was this animal over there that they used. And so for a Jewish person, if you said the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God would most likely either be Genesis 22 or Exodus, where they're bringing the nation of Israel out of Egypt. So when John is standing there, he didn't just say Lamb of God, he said, that's the Lamb of God. And the foreshadow would, of course, be the Messiah. And so in Genesis, God tells Abraham to offer Isaac. And he says, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? And God will provide the sacrifice. And the ram was caught, and that was a foreshadow. And think about this. The Lamb of God is provided by God, the foreshadow of the coming lamb, the substitute. So whether it's Genesis 22, whether it's back to Exodus, the passages of coming out of Egypt, a Jewish person, if you would have said to them, there's the Lamb of God, they would have immediately thought either Exodus or Abraham, every time. And so when John is standing there with his disciples, and there's a bunch of guys. By the way, John was out in the wilderness. People were coming from everywhere. There were guys that came out there with him and said, we believe John is pointing to the Messiah. And we're going to stand right here with John, and we're going to be part of his disciples, and we're going to learn from him. And as they're standing there one day, Maybe not out in the wilderness. They may have come in. We don't know. Jesus comes walking by, and John looks at his guys and said, there he is. There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the guys looked around like, what? And a couple of them followed him. And as they were following, Jesus is walking, and he looks back, and he goes, what do y'all want? And they went, where do you live? I mean, they didn't know what to say. Where do you live? He said, come and see. And they stayed with him, and he told them, and they realized the Messiah. And one of them was Andrew, went and got Peter. Another guy went and got somebody else. And before you knew it, they're all bringing people saying, we found the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. But it all goes back to John pointing him out. What was John's job? Point out the Messiah. He's the voice crying in the wilderness, make the way. Here comes the Messiah. So let's start with the idea, first of all, that he's the Lamb of God. And see, that's powerful. Let me skip back real quickly. The Lamb of God. Second thing, who takes away, what? Takes away the sin. Hebrews 10:4, I'm going to read it to you so you don't have to turn there. You can if you want to, but Hebrews chapter 10 is an incredible passage because it's all dealing with sacrifices and the Old Testament and the New Testament and how everything fits together. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, they're talking about animal sacrifices. He said, you know, if you offer a sacrifice every year, that doesn't pay for sin. In fact, all the sacrifices in the Old Testament did what? What they do? They covered sin. In fact, whoops, let me go back. In fact, Hebrews 10:4 says that, was it removing of sin? No, it was the blood of animals could never take away sin. So to say the Lamb of God who takes away sin, it can't be an animal. Think about this. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world cannot be an animal because the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. Animal sacrifices cannot take away sin. I've asked this question a lot of times to trick people. I say, does God want human sacrifice? And they all go, no. And I go, yes, he does. Human sacrifice is Jesus. The only sacrifice that can pay for a human being's sin is a perfect human, Jesus Christ. And so when he said, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he was pointing a person. And to take away sin, the animal sacrifices can never take away sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 says, every priest, this is Old Testament priest, stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which could never take away sin. It can't take away sin. Then it says this, but he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus offered one sacrifice for sin forever. He didn't cover sin. What did he do? Paid for sin. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he sat down. Why is he sat down? It's what? Say it. No, he wasn't tired. No, he wasn't tired. Why did he sit down? It's finished. The payment's been made. All the other priests, every sacrifice, there was no place for a priest to sit in the temple, by the way. They offered sacrifices, offered sacrifices, offered sacrifices, and stood like this. And when the day was over, they shut the door. They came back the next day, stood right there, offered sacrifices, priest never sat down. But when Jesus, as the great high priest, offered one sacrifice for sin forever, what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God because the payment has been made. So he is the one who is the sacrifice. And so as he says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Think about this. First Peter says we're redeemed not by corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So the Lamb of God takes away sin. What's the third part of the world? The sins of mankind. Now, this is so big. This is so big. I think your handout is wrong on a verse. Let me look at this real quickly. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the slide. I don't know. I thought I saw something wrong, but maybe not. Okay. 1 John 2:2 says he is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of what? Anybody know? The whole world. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, paid for the sins of every person. Now, there are people out there you're going to deal with, and they're going to tell you he only died for certain people. Or they're going to say to you, he died, but it doesn't count unless you believe. And that's wrong, too. Both are wrong. Jesus is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Hebrews 2:9, he tasted death for every person. God so loved the world that he gave his son. So I want you to understand, Jesus paid for the sins of every human being. That's why The issue isn't getting your life together and dealing with your sins in order to be saved. People say, repent of your sins and give your life to Jesus. What? What? Yeah, you got to turn away from your sins. Look, sin's not the issue. You know why? Already paid for. Our sins are far as the east is to the west. He's the satisfactory payment. The issue now is what? It's faith. It's believing exactly what Paul just said. You believe. You believe in him and he gives you what? Eternal life. You don't believe in him and he gives you the payment for your sins. They're already done. It doesn't say he will be the satisfactory payment for your sins. It says he already is the satisfactory payment for your sins. So let's make sure we understand that. And that's for the entire world. Every human being, past, present, and future. That is so amazing. So what have we seen? We've seen John's statement. The Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice promised by God, who takes away sin, the final payment of the whole world, all mankind, every person. I hope all of us in this room, that this is like an encouragement to us to say, okay, look, when we talk to people about Jesus, it's not telling them you need to repent of your sins, you need to give your life to Jesus, you need to stop doing it. We're coming to them telling them, I got the greatest news of all. God so loved you, he gave his son to die in your place, pay for your sins, and he gives you the gift of eternal life simply by faith. You believe in him, and he gives you what? Eternal life. That's his offer. You're offering them eternal life. Not the payment for sins. It's already been paid for. So just remember that. And that's why people get confused. And they're out there and the messages are so unclear. And you wonder, what in the world do people believe? I have this sweet little lady call me from Georgia. Okay, I'm just going to tell you the truth. She called from Georgia. She found our website. She found, I don't know which study she was doing. She told me she was now listening to 8 lessons. But she said, I started last night at 11 and I never went to sleep. I listened to all of the messages until 6 o'clock this morning. That's what she told me. And she told me that she needed me to call her. So I called her. And she's so confused because she's been told that the church she's going to says that if you can get to a certain point, you won't sin anymore. She's been told that if you don't live right, you could lose your salvation. And so she's listened to, I think it's the 412 or maybe the 22 or whatever. And so she's now hearing that. And she says, you say, I said, no, the Bible says, okay, the Bible says when you believe, I said, what do you get when you believe? And she went, you say, I said, no, what does the Bible say? She said, well, it says eternal life. I said, how long is that? She said, she'll have this long pause. And then she'll say, I think it's forever. I said, that's right. So the moment you believe, what do you get? Eternal life. I said, can that end? She goes, well, I've been told. I said, not what you've been told. What, you know, and it's just amazing, y'all, how many people are so confused just on the salvation message and the assurance of salvation. That's why we've got to tell them the moment you believe, what do you get? Eternal life, and they're saved. How long? Forever. And they don't have to, they go through their lives serving out of love, not out of fear. Anyway, that happened on Friday. But so what is our message? We proclaim that Jesus is the Savior. He is the one who came and died and paid for the sins of the world, and all who believe in him have eternal life. And that's what John said. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We get to tell people the greatest message of all. So let me stop and do this. Let's be clear on the message. Think about this. He is the payment. He is the substitute. Now, it's important. We're not saying we don't tell people that Jesus died and rose again. But believing that Jesus died and rose again doesn't save anybody. Believing in him for eternal life saves you. So it's okay. We want to tell people, look, Jesus is the Son of God. He came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, conquered death. And what does he do now? He offers to you a gift. The gift is eternal life. And it's simply by faith. So he is the payment. He is the substitute. He died for the just and the unjust. He died for every person. And so what is the message? He died and rose again. The response is to believe. And what is the offer? It's eternal life. I think this is really a solid way to think about sharing your faith. If you can just remember that and remember, if all you have to do is remember John 3:16, you just go through John 3:16, you got those three things. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, gave him to die and rise again, that whosoever would believe would never perish but have, here's the offer, eternal life. It's that simple. And we can be ready and we don't have to be afraid and we can serve God out of love and not out of fear. And we see, what is John's message? John said, listen, there is the Lamb of God. It's a human being, not an animal, because animal sin, sacrifices can't pay for sin. There's the Lamb of God who takes away, removes it, the sin of the world. And that's the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world.